Returning God's Word now to the Gospel according to Mark, chapter 10. We're going to read at verse number 35. Then James and John, the sons of Zebedee, came to him. "Teacher," they said, "we want you to do for us whatever we ask." "What do you want me to do for you?" he asked. They replied, "Let one of us sit at your right and the other at your left in your glory." "You don't know what you're asking," Jesus said. "Can you drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with?" "We can," they answered. Jesus said to them, "You will drink the cup I drink and be baptized with the baptism I am baptized with. But to sit at my right or left is not for me to grant. These places belong to those for whom they have been prepared." When the ten heard about this, they became indignant with James and John. Jesus called them together and said, "You know that those who are regarded as rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them. Their high officials exercise authority over them. Not so with you. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you must be your servant. And whoever wants to be first must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many." Then they came to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, that is, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many rebuked him and told him to be quiet, but he shouted all the more, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stopped and said, "Call him." So they called to the blind man, "Cheer up, on your feet, he's calling you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. "What do you want me to do for you?" Jesus asked him. The blind man said, "Rabbi, I want to see." "Go," said Jesus, "your faith has healed you." Immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus along the road. The VIP's on a visit. The crowds are thronging round him. Some are curious. Some are interested. Some are deferential and want to be noticed. And everything focuses on this one important person, the center of attention. And suddenly there's a voice in the background. There's a stir created. Somebody else is drawing attention to themselves. And people look around. They're trying to find out who's talking, who's shouting, what's going on, what's the distraction, what's all the fuss. Who does he think he is? Here's someone tremendously important that we're looking after. And who's this creating a racket? Wanting attention. Does he want to meet this VIP? What's his agenda? Is it a protest? What's going on? And they want to silence the other voice that's distracting attention from this important person. And that's exactly what we find happening as Jesus leaves Jericho. A distraction. People are focusing on Jesus and crowding around him. Suddenly it seems somebody else wants attention. Nobody wants the fuss except Jesus stops and gives the man his complete attention. And now as we come to the final section of Mark 10, we think of chapter 10, verses 46 to 52, a life transformed. Here the Lord changes a very needy man in the city of Jericho. He will never be the same again. A life transformed. And you see first Bartimaeus' condition. We're given minimal background information about this man. Indeed, other Gospels tell us there were two blind men. And we might wonder, well, why does Mark only tell us about one of them? What about the other? He's not named. He doesn't even appear. Well, the Lord knows why Mark was guided to speak only about Bartimaeus. Perhaps one day we'll know more clearly. Maybe Mark is focusing on one individual in particular. We don't know. But the background of Bartimaeus is a mystery to us. If we needed to know, we would know. We are told as much as we need to know. It's his present condition that's significant. How he got to this situation, we don't need to know. But he's a man suffering a tremendous handicap. Blindness at any time is a major handicap. But if we think of the conditions of the first century, it is even worse. There's provision made in various ways nowadays to help those suffering in this way. Perhaps inadequate in many ways, but at least there's something there. But back at this time, virtually nothing. He's blind and he's a beggar, and that was not an unusual situation for people to find themselves in. There are no social services. The only kind of provision that there might be for someone like this would be his own family and private charity. Beyond that, nothing. And if there was no family to give support, then a blind person would be destitute. They couldn't work, they couldn't earn a living, and for most of them there would be virtually no alternative to begging. And eye disease would be very common. Little could be done to treat it, and so blindness was common, and blind beggars were not an unusual sight. So here's Bartimaeus in what everybody would immediately recognize as a miserable condition, totally dependent on others, living in poverty, very little in life, even less to look forward to. If the handicapped in general were at the bottom of society, blind beggars were just about the very bottom. Destitute, dependent, begging, no dignity, no prospects. You can begin perhaps to imagine a little bit of the situation in which Bartimaeus found himself. And yet in another way he's quite remarkable. He certainly must have heard of Jesus and heard about what he had been doing, about the kind of man that he was. Because he cries out to attract Jesus' attention. Now, there are many things he could have cried out, but the words he actually uses are tremendously significant. He's not just making noise to get Jesus' attention. Look at what he says. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. Jesus, Son of David. Why does Bartimaeus address Jesus in that way? It's surely not just a reference to Jesus' genealogy. Why would Bartimaeus think of that, what family Jesus came from? Unless that was important. And Bartimaeus understands that it is. Son of David is a messianic title. It's remarkable to hear a man like Bartimaeus using it. There's a lot of theology in that one little phrase, Son of David. It was a title for the Messiah, who would be descended from David, who would be from that royal family line. And here is Bartimaeus shouting out to the Nazareth carpenter, Son of David. There's a remarkable degree of understanding evident just in those words. Bartimaeus knows that Jesus is more than just some sort of wonder worker, some sort of touring healer who might be able to help him. There's real spiritual insight in the words he uses to attract Jesus' attention. Now, we shouldn't assume for a moment that Bartimaeus understood exactly what Jesus had come to do. Bartimaeus is not sitting at the roadside thinking, here is one who has come to die on a cross to save sinners. Certainly not. And yet, he knew enough about Jesus to understand that here is the one who can help him, who can address him in this miserable condition, who can meet his need. And it is Jesus, Son of David, who can do that. So there is a profundity about those words. There is a remarkable degree of understanding on the part of Bartimaeus. This isn't random words that he's shouting out to get attention. It says something very particular about who he understands Jesus to be. Son of David. The messianic title. Now, there may well have been all sorts of misunderstandings in Bartimaeus' mind about the Messiah. Haven't we seen in the minds of Jesus' own disciples there were plenty of misunderstandings about Messiahship? But that doesn't take away from the fact that Bartimaeus has got the heart of the matter. That this man coming out of Jericho, mauled by this great crowd, is in some sense Son of David, Messiah, the one who's able to meet his need. And there's a strong conviction on the part of Bartimaeus of the power of Jesus to help him. Because he's obstacles to overcome. Many rebuked him, told him to be quiet. You can imagine in this situation the embarrassment of the crowd. Here's Jesus, and others want to see him, to hear him, perhaps to see him do some miracle to somebody else. And here's this blind beggar at the roadside, shouting and drawing attention to himself. Why didn't he shut up? Jesus is far too important for this sort of riffraff to be attracting his attention. Shut up, Bartimaeus. Jesus hasn't time for you. There are more important people here. Maybe the mayor of Jericho wants to talk to him. There's a blind beggar. Who's got time for them? They're all over the place. You're tripping over them. Shut up. Bartimaeus will not be shut up. He keeps on shouting. He won't let people silence him because he's a sense of need and the awareness that Jesus is the one he's got to get the attention of Jesus. Nobody else can help him. And he will not be silenced. He shouted all the more. He's determined. He is utterly determined that Jesus will help him. And there's the voice of faith. Oh yes, maybe there's an element of desperation. But there's faith. He needs Jesus. And nobody else will do. Nobody else can help him. He's determined to make contact. And there in Bartimaeus we have a wretched man calling out to Jesus for mercy. Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. And we cannot surely fail to be reminded in that of the plight of every sinner. Every one of us by nature. What are we apart from Christ? We are in spiritual destitution. Spiritually, we are no better than Bartimaeus. Paul says in Ephesians 2:12, without Christ, we're without hope and without God in the world. We are wretched, needy people. People who need what only Christ can give us. We're separated from fellowship with the Lord. We may live in a certain sense, but we don't have life in the real spiritual sense. We're dead in our sins. Isaiah 59:2, your iniquities have separated you from your God. We are cut off from God, from life, from blessing, from everything that we need for life, truly to be life. And what are our future prospects as sinners? Only judgment and condemnation. We ought to be crying out in our sin and our misery for Jesus. For Jesus, the Son of David, to have mercy on us, because we desperately, desperately need him. And nobody else can meet us at the point of our need. And it is tragic when sinners fail to recognize their true condition. And many go through life with no thought of a need for God, for a Savior, for salvation. There's nothing much wrong with them. They're not as good as they would like to be, probably, and a few things they would want to change, but basically they're all right. And there isn't the sense of need that there was in the heart of Bartimaeus. Tragic when they fail to recognize that Jesus is the only one who can deal with their problems and deal with their sin. The truth is, Acts 4:12, there's no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved. There's no other name. We need Jesus. And we ought to be crying out to him for mercy. And the eagerness of Bartimaeus sure is a rebuke to many. He will not let anything hold him back. He throws his cloak aside. He's not going to trip over it in his blind stumbling towards Jesus. Anything that will get in the way, throw it aside. He is going to get to Jesus. Because only Jesus can meet his need. And you mustn't let anything keep you from coming to Jesus for the answer to your sin and your lostness. Not your pride, not your self-sufficiency, not what other people will think of you, not the attitude of your friends or your family, not anything. Because as a sinner you need Jesus, and nobody else can change your life. Nobody else can deal with your sin and your lostness. And you mustn't let anything keep you back. Any cloak, any hindrance that's keeping you from coming to Jesus, throw it away. It's worth nothing. You need Jesus. And you need him to touch you at your point of need, just as Bartimaeus did. His condition, he is desperate. He is in misery. He is utterly dependent on others. He has nothing. But he knows that Jesus can meet his need. He knows that this man is the Messiah, the Son of David. And so he cries out, as we must cry out to Jesus for mercy. Bartimaeus' condition. But then we see Jesus' compassion. Jesus' compassion. Urgent call of Bartimaeus doesn't just attract Jesus' peripheral attention. It receives his full attention. We're told Jesus stopped. He didn't just glance as he walked past. You've seen people like that. People with a big sense of their own importance. And they might give you a word as they rush by to something more interesting or something more important. Jesus stops. And that is significant. The crowd around him, but he stops for Bartimaeus. And he has Bartimaeus called over. And remember Jesus' situation. He's on his way to offer himself on the cross as a sacrifice for the salvation of his people. His heart, no doubt, is full of the prospect of suffering and death. And he had every reason to be preoccupied. If anybody ever had reason to be preoccupied with himself, it is Jesus leaving Jericho to go to Jerusalem. And he might well have said, in comparison to what he is going to accomplish at Jerusalem, one blind beggar can wait. He has far more significant things to do. And yet he takes time for this one man for whom the crowds had no time. And do you see how quickly the crowds change? One minute it's shut up Bartimaeus. Oh, Jesus is interested in him. Oh, come on, get up, come along, he wants to talk to you. Suddenly he's important, Jesus wants to talk to him. Now he matters because the Lord's paying attention. Of course, crowds flop like that all the time. Jesus has time. And you see his compassion and his concern for one individual. In terms of society, Bartimaeus didn't matter at all. At best, he was a burden. And Jesus is not some remote, unfeeling teacher. He is one who has compassion. He knows the individual. He is concerned for him all through Jesus' ministry. You see exactly the same thing. Psalm 145, verse 18. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. And that day, Jesus, the Lord, was near to Bartimaeus. There might have been hundreds, there might have been thousands of other people. But he was near to Bartimaeus in his need and his cry of faith. He called on the Lord in truth, in sincerity, in faith. And in the midst of the crowd, all the hubbub and all that was going on, the Lord was near to him. With all the pressures of the work he came to do, Jesus still takes time for the personal contact. Well, he could, as he rushed on, have healed Bartimaeus. But he stops for the face-to-face contact, to see him, to talk to him, to ask him a question. What do you want me to do for you? And you might think, well, it's a stupid question. What do you think he wants you to do for him? He's blind. Yet the question's important. It makes the contact. It draws out Bartimaeus' faith. Will he ask Jesus for the healing he needs? And yes, he does. The question has a purpose. It's not telling Jesus something he didn't know. It's for Bartimaeus' benefit. His faith is brought to expression as he answers the question. The relationship with Jesus is established. And it encourages him to make his need known and to ask. And compassion is easy at a distance for most of us. It's easier to feel compassion for thousands of people in Africa or somewhere else that you never see. You can give a few pounds, that's it. Easier than someone sitting there in need, perhaps desperate, complicated problems, no easy solutions. A lot harder to feel compassion on the one individual who is there than on the crowd who's out there somewhere. And Jesus has compassion on Bartimaeus. The Lord deals with sinners. He deals with us in that compassionate way. He's ready to hear the cry of the repentant. It's his grace that has moved the sinner to repent in the first place. And the promise of Jesus, John 6:37, he who comes to me, I will never, ever drive away. We have all the encouragement we could ever need to come to Jesus. It's compassion, His grace, His love, His willingness to receive whoever comes in repentance and trust in Him. And a mighty miracle is performed. Immediately, we are told, verse 52, Bartimaeus received his sight. His need has been met by the royal power of King Jesus. Jesus says, your faith has healed you. Not in the sense that his faith earned healing. Faith is just a channel. Faith, it's been said, is just holding out empty hands. But it's the Lord who fills them. And it's the Lord who heals. And here is another sign of the presence of the kingdom of God. A sign of the presence of the King walking among men. He gives sight to the blind. That's what we sang about, Psalm 146. He gives sight to the blind. God is here. In Jesus, walking among men. A sign of a kingdom that transforms people. That changes them utterly. So that they are never the same again. A sign that one day all imperfection will be removed. And every handicap, blindness, and whatever it may be, a day will come in the grace of God when all imperfection will be removed in the glory of His kingdom. That day still lies ahead. But now here is one who changes hearts and transforms lives. One who leaves us totally changed when He meets with us at our point of need. Citizens of the kingdom, first and foremost, receive cleansing from sin. They receive eternal life. The broken fellowship with God is restored. And we look forward to a day of perfection in body as well as in soul. Here is one who transforms, a compassionate, a gracious King. He transforms Bartimaeus, and He can transform you today at your point of need. And above all, He's able to change your heart and your life, to forgive your sin and to make you a new person. Jesus' compassion is the answer to Bartimaeus' condition, his helplessness, this hopelessness. And Jesus is able to touch him at that point of need. And he will never be the same again. And it leads us to see finally Bartimaeus' commitment. Bartimaeus' commitment. He did have faith. It may have been weak faith. He may have had doubts and questions in his mind. But there was faith present. He wouldn't have called on Jesus otherwise. Why bother? And this experience of healing, I'm sure, strengthened that faith greatly. And it's not just the faith that Jesus could perform a miracle. There were a lot of people who had that kind of faith, that Jesus can do amazing things. And yet they carried on in their sin. But Bartimaeus is different. From all we can see, it was true saving faith in Messiah Jesus. Your faith, Jesus says, has healed you or made you whole. Or saved you. It's all the same word. You can translate it in different ways. But through the channel of faith in Jesus, Bartimaeus is transformed. And his response is one of commitment. We are told he followed Jesus along the road. He seems to have become a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're told in Luke 18, the parallel account, he praised, he glorified God, and the crowd was moved to do the same. But it's not only physical restoration. It's salvation from sin. The call of God in Psalm 50, verse 15, "Call upon me in the day of trouble. I will deliver you, and you will glorify me." And the fitting response to being touched and changed by Jesus is commitment to him. When you experience the saving power of the Lord in your heart and life, you don't want to hold back anything from him. When you think of what he has done for you, nothing he could ever ask of you is too much. No demand of the Lord is excessive. And he asks for everything. He asks for everything. All you are is to be committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, to be used in any way he chooses. And if he has saved you at such a cost, it's never too much to ask. We are truly saved. We are transformed by the grace of God in Jesus Christ. That will show itself in our commitment to him, to follow him, to love him, to serve him. If there's no commitment to discipleship, then you have to wonder, has there been any experience of salvation? There are people who talk about being saved, and you look at their lives and there's no evidence of following Jesus, no evidence of discipleship. You have to say, what does it mean when they say they're saved? Perhaps nothing at all. If you're truly saved, and your heart will be filled with love for the Lord, a desire to serve him in any way he directs, to learn about him, to love him more, to follow on after him. Bartimaeus' commitment was wholehearted. Our commitment to Christ, who loves us and who saves us, must be wholehearted. That we praise God and we follow Jesus along the road. We don't know what road he will lead us along, but we follow him. And it doesn't matter what the road is. If it's following Jesus, it's the good road. It's the right road. There's none better. Commitment to the Savior. Are you committed to this Jesus, to follow him along the road? Praise him, to glorify him, to serve him. Bartimaeus is a good pattern for us. We're needy sinners. We must cry out to Jesus for mercy. He is a compassionate Savior. He deals with us, not as crowds, but as individuals, to change us, to transform our lives. And our response is to be wholehearted commitment to Jesus, the Son of David, the Messiah, the King, the Savior. Are you following Jesus, Son of David, along the road? Does that describe your life today? Have you felt the power of his grace in your heart? You're a transformed, forgiven sinner. And you want to follow him. And follow him all the way along the road to final glory. May the Lord make us faithful followers of Jesus, Son of David, who transforms us into his wonderful likeness.